My guest at this time is Georgia Republican Congressman Rob Woodall. He's a freshman representing the Peach State's 7th Congressional District, and he's also a member of the House Budget Committee. As we get set to hit December, we want to get the congressman's insight on what we can expect in the rest of this session of the Republican-led House of Representatives. Will we be seeing debate on appropriations bills? There's a lot of talk right now about extending payroll tax breaks and what else might be on the agenda. And, sir, thank you very much for being with us.
Greg, I'm happy to do it.
Well, so far we know that the House Republicans passed a budget earlier this year, basically along the lines of the Ryan Plan. The Senate Democrats did not. And since that time, there's not been a whole lot of news on specific appropriations bills. Where do we stand in that process, and how much of it do you think you can get done here in this month?
Well, we're committed to getting it all done this month. You know, Greg, the process had so deteriorated during the 4 years of Democratic leadership here, and candidly even in the years of Republican leadership before that. A reliance on continuing resolutions, on ignoring the entire appropriations process and doing it in one giant bill. We have a real opportunity now to get back into regular order next year. As you know, we inherited a FY11 process that had not been finished last year, and we had to do that at the beginning of the year. That put us behind, so we're still now finishing up FY12. We want to get FY13 started right off the bat in January of next year, which means we need to finish the remaining appropriations bills here in the next 10 days. We funded 5 of the executive branch agencies so far. We've got to get the rest funded. It's complicated by the fact that the Senate has not passed any appropriations bills. The House passed about half of the appropriations bills before the process broke down. I don't believe you're going to see any more minibuses, as they're called. You saw this one bill 2 weeks ago that funded those 5 agencies. I think you're just going to see one bill coming down the pipe to run to fund the rest. I wish we would break them up one by one, but I just don't see the ability to do that.
So we're staring at another omnibus bill?
I think that's right. And of course, that's going to be the last. We say another. It will be another, and it will be the final. And that will clear the decks so that on January 1, we can begin legislating the way the Founding Fathers intended that we legislate.
Is this because the two chambers can't really reach a consensus? Is it a matter, you mentioned the calendar issues before with the previous year's continuing resolution barging all the way into the spring and so forth. But in terms of why the fiscal year 2012 bills can't be done individually, which oftentimes means less of a burden on taxpayers, what do you think is the main reason?
Well, you hit it on the head in your opening. It's that the Senate didn't pass a budget. If the appropriations committees don't know how much money they're allowed to spend, how can they possibly pass a bill to spend it? The House went through, passed the Paul Ryan budget, passed the budget committee budget, budgeted at $1,019,000,000,000 in discretionary spending for this year, and those 6 appropriations bills that the House passed, we passed based on those budget estimates. The Senate did nothing, and so it had nothing on which to legislate, so there was no ability to go to conference. In the debt deal that was struck back in August, we did agree upon some top numbers going forward. For this FY12 year, it's $1,043,000,000,000 in discretionary spending. For FY13, it's $1,046,000,000,000 in discretionary spending. So there is now this agreement on what the top line number will be, and that gives the individual appropriations committees the ability to pass legislation that we can then take to conference and get this process back under regular order.
And how does that compare to existing spending levels?
Well, you are so right that when we're able to do things one bill at a time, we're able to give all spending a level of scrutiny that it cannot get when you stuff it into one bill. But what you'll see in this FY12 process as it finishes up is that we will have spent less money in discretionary spending for the second year in a row. We spent $1,091,000,000,000 back before this Congress started in 2010. For 2011, we lowered that down to $1,050 in this FY12 process. We're lowering it further to $1,043. So that's almost a 5% cut. Real cut, not rates of growth, not funny math, real dollars out the door, almost 5% less in just the 11 months that this new Congress has been in place. And I think we're going to be able to do even better next year.
the Republican budget, as largely crafted by Chairman Ryan, of course, also consisted of a major effort to reform Medicare over time. Do you get the sense you'll be able to start working on that in the coming year?
I really do. And we're going to have to. And we're having this discussion right now about the payroll tax extension, extending the payroll tax break that was a part of the Obama-Bush tax cut extension last December. Well, every dollar that you don't ask people to pay into the Social Security Trust Fund is a dollar that bankrupts the Social Security Trust Fund that much faster. The same thing is going on with Medicare. We can't cut docs far enough to keep that program solvent. The only way that Social Security and Medicare survive for generations to come is if we sit down and tell people, look them in the eye, and tell them that you can't get what your parents got. I'm in my 40s, Greg. You've got to come to me today and say you are not going to get what your parents got. We're going to be honest with you. We're going to tell you that up front. We're going to give you an estimate of what you might get, but you're not going to get that. That's where the money is. This discretionary spending, this $1,043 billion in spending, that is chump change compared to those entitlement programs of Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. If we're serious about dealing with budget issues, if we're serious about the $15 trillion in national debt our children are already facing, we've got to be serious about working on Social Security and Medicare, and not 2 years from now, not 1 year from now, but beginning immediately when we come back.
Well, the numbers certainly seem to bear that out from the Congressional Budget Office and elsewhere. Just a couple of quick follow-ups on a couple of issues that you mentioned, sir, that will probably need to be dealt with before the end of this calendar year. First of all is the proposed extension of the payroll tax cuts. You said that's essentially contributing to the insolvency of Social Security, and a lot of folks certainly agree with that. Speaker Boehner today issuing a statement that says, we can do this, but it's definitely has to be paid for. President Obama and a lot of the Democrats say, well, Republicans are for tax cuts everywhere else. Why not here? How do you respond to all that?
Well, the answer is that the money goes two different places. I absolutely believe that tax cuts spur economic growth. If you're going to have a dollar, an individual is going to get better use out of that dollar than the government's going to get out of it on his behalf. But Social Security is not a tax that goes to pay for government spending. Social Security is a tax that goes to pay you for Social Security when you retire. So if you want to lower the Social Security tax burden on Americans, I'm all for that. But again, you have to come to those very same Americans who are going to be paying less in Social Security and tell them that they're going to be getting less in Social Security. It's a pay-as-you-go program. I'm all in favor of reducing that burden as far as we can. It's a huge burden on employers and on employees, but we just have to deal with the trust fund issues at the same time.
And you also mentioned what's known as the doc fix that wasn't officially calculated into the president's health care plan. But if Congress does not approve separately money to reimburse physicians for their treatment of Medicare patients, then these doctors are going to be seeing a much, much lower reimbursement rate within the next few weeks. Some have suggested that while this has been an automatic reflex of Congress in the past, that it might not be so automatic this year. Where do you line up on this, and how do you expect it to shake out?
Well, Greg, this is one of those things that folks need to pay close attention to, because it shows you what happens when Congress tells you it's going to take care of it next time. This was a spending reduction that was passed in 1997. 1997 as part of the Medicare reforms, and it has not been implemented even until today. The can keeps getting kicked down the road 1 year at a time, and it's been kicked so far now that's right. If we were to let it go into effect on January 1st, docs would experience a 27% reduction in reimbursements. So my docs tell me they're losing money on Medicare already, another 27%, they're just going to get out of the business altogether. Well, I'll say two things about that. You're right, it has been automatic in years past. The number has been smaller, and so it's been easier for it to be automatic. This year, it's a big number, and we're trying to pay for things. We're trying to make sure we don't make our deficit problem any worse. And if you wonder where nationalized health care will take this country, look at Medicare. 27% reductions in payments is what we need to do just to follow through on the commitments we made in 1997, and that still doesn't keep Medicare from going bankrupt within two decades. So to imagine that we can start a new entitlement a new health care entitlement and keep that afloat in this economy is just nonsense. I do think we'll come through at the end. I mean, it's a moral issue. We promised folks Medicare would be there for, much like Social Security. They paid into it their entire lives. But make no mistake, if you go down the road of counting on the government to provide health care for you, you run the risk of having no health care at all. That's what we would be facing if we don't get the SGR fixed for so many Medicare beneficiaries. And this may be that teaching moment that we have to get Americans focused on whether they want more control over their lives or whether they want to trust the government to do it for them.
Congressman, a lot on your plate in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much for bringing us up to date today.
Greg, thanks for what you do.
Thank you, sir. Georgia Republican Congressman Rob Woodall represents his state's 7th Congressional District. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.